This is Women's Focus. My name is Carol Boss, and today, at least for a couple of segments, we're celebrating the first anniversary of Revolutionary Soup, a feature I started exactly 1 year ago this weekend, where we talk about, we have many conversations about food, all kinds of conversations. And by the way, these programs are finally, after much promise, going up and have been going up on the website, and you can check them out at kunm.org, and you can either search for Women's Focus or under my name, Carol Boss, B-O-S-S, and you'll see many of the programs, and this one today will be going up, and that is with many thanks to the great fortune that I have to have an intern for a couple of months, Sarah Kaysan, who is going to be introduced to you in a short while on this program. And because of her, finally, these programs are available to listen to anytime that you want to. And also, all of our local programs are on our two-week archive, which you can get to, again, by going to kunm.org. And on the top, you'll click the two-week archive tab. And they're aired, as the title says, for 2 weeks from the date of initial airing. So you can check out many, many programs that way. So I'm so happy. I've wanted to have on this program for a long time Yashoda Naidu, who is the founder of Annapurna World Vegetarian Cafe, and have a discussion about Ayurveda and the healing cuisine of Ayurveda. I'm very fond of this food. I don't eat Ayurvedically, strictly speaking, but I sure do a lot. And I'm so happy to welcome Yashoda here. She just came from her cooking class that I think she has. I don't know if it's absolutely every Saturday. Yes, it is every Saturday. And I appreciate you coming over, Yashoda. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're most welcome. So you came to Ayurveda not necessarily from years of eating that way with your family. Is that true?
Yes, I did come to Ayurveda through my family.
Oh, you did
come.
That's
what I was raised with.
That's what you were raised with. But you actually have been and probably still are. Are you an active certified public accountant?
I'm a certified public accountant, but not
so
practice.
Active.
I came to the United States to work as a certified public accountant, and I did that for a few years. I no longer work as a CPA.
So where did that transition happen from CPA to cooking? Because I have a feeling that's not something you had intended to do.
I actually had not intended to be a chef slash restaurant owner slash operator. CPA was what I had come to live in the United States and work as. I came to live in Albuquerque in the year 1994, and I had to find a place to serve my own dietary needs, which is very, very restricting. I was raised on the Ayurvedic diet, exclusively vegetarian, and that was difficult to feed myself here in Albuquerque. And over the years that I worked as a CPA, it was challenging for me to find food at a restaurant level because I worked long hours and I needed to have the Ayurvedic diet to support my health with spending so much time in my career. I decided that if I wanted to really go back to eating the way I was raised with, I needed to do this by myself. And I decided in the year 2000 that I wanted to do something that was going to make a difference in my life and touch others with the same thing that I felt that I needed to eat better. And I wanted to bring this to the community on a wider scale than just learning to cook for myself and feeding myself and providing a healing cuisine. So I made the transition to leave my CPA job with a Big Five accounting firm and go down the road of starting a restaurant. I started cooking out of my home and then finally got a shop front, a building with a restaurant, 10 years ago, actually, this week.
Yes, this is your 10th anniversary. Congratulations. It's really quite a feat to have a restaurant around for a decade, but not only do you have one restaurant, you have, which is on Silver near Yale, but you also have one on North 4th Street in the Valley, and you have one in Santa Fe.
That's correct. Three locations in the 10-year period. That's correct.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what Ayurveda is all about, and maybe you can do that in terms of how you ate when you were growing up in India. And at that time, was eating Ayurvedically prevalent there?
Yes, Carol. I did not grow up in India. My parents are Indian. They're from southern India. I grew up in England, Australia, South Africa, a little bit in Singapore, and a little bit in Hong Kong. However, whether we were on Queen's Road near Harrods in London or whether we were in Clayton, Melbourne, Australia, we still ate dal and rice and vegetables every day and had chai every day. So, yes, I was raised with this healing cuisine.
Fresh-made chai, not from a packet.
Yes, chai made from scratch like they make in India on the streets.
So let's talk about what it means to be eating Ayurvedically and maybe just do a little bit of explanation about what Ayurvedic the tradition is, which really precedes actually acupuncture, I have heard. And acupuncture is, I don't know if it's 3,000 years old, but Ayurveda goes back even before that.
Ayurveda is older than 5,000 years.
Yeah, older than 5,000.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is Ayurveda?
Ayurveda is the word. Ayur means life, and the word Veda means knowledge. So it really is a science of life. What I specialize in, or what I've chosen to specialize in and bring to the community, is the food aspect surrounding Ayurveda. Ayurvedic food is based on one body, three doshas, and doshas are forces within the body that control, govern our being. Four seasons, five elements, six tastes, seven chakras, nine planets. That's the foundation that I use to teach at my Ayurvedic cooking school. That is also the foundation on which the dishes are prepared. And that is the foundation that I was raised with. Now, it does involve more than just food. It involves body work, such as massage and other Ayurvedic treatments. But I would like to talk to you about the food today, because that is what we bring to the community here in New Mexico and have been doing for the last 10 years, is a healing cuisine.
So tell us what the six tastes are.
Sweet, sour, salty, bitter, astringent, and pungent. Each of our dishes are prepared using all six tastes.
Each of the dishes, yes.
That's correct.
So it's all about bringing the body into a balance.
Into a balance, that's correct.
And the three body types, the three doshas, and some people certainly know these names, Vata, Pitta,
and Kapha. That's correct.
And if you look at an Ayurvedic cookbook sometimes, you'll see which recipes are especially good for each of those doses.
For each of those doses.
And then there are certain foods that actually aggravate a
dosha. There are certain foods that aggravate a dosha, and there are certain foods that can pacify a dosha. Where the seasonality comes in is we use produce seasonally to balance out pitta, for example. Here in New Mexico, green chili is available all year round. However, if you were sticking to a strict Ayurvedic diet, you would not be eating green chili 3 times a day, 7 days a week, right in the middle of June, because that's our summer.
And the reason for that?
Is that you've already got the heat from the environment. You might be a pitta constitution, so you're dominant pitta. You've got the fire inherently in you. So you don't want to add something like green chili to your diet, because then it would aggravate the pitta.
So you have incorporated into your menu some dishes that are more Western-based than Ayurveda. That's correct, right?
We've added the World Vegetarian Menu in 2006. And what I call the World Vegetarian Menu is soups, salads, sandwiches, bread, such as focaccia. However, we have still maintained the made-from-scratch concept. Everything at the restaurant is made at the restaurant. We make our own focaccia bread from scratch. We make our own soups. A lot of the dishes in the world menu also have the Ayurvedic principles and concepts that I've sneaked in and that I enjoy working with and bringing what I call comfort food to people with a health twist to it. Ayurveda is very close to my heart, something I was raised with, something, a science I have a lot of respect for. And if I can take a dish like mashed potatoes, or I can take a dish like hummus, and I can sneak some Ayurveda into that, I will do that.
So you're the sneaky chef, huh?
Yes, and it gives me the opportunity to be creative and also be the doctor that I wanted to be, to bring the healing aspect to food, because I believe that food is medicine.
So let's talk about some of that food and what it means for it to be healing cuisine. So in other words, the food that is absolutely all, you know, based on Ayurvedic principles are food that will be non-aggravating to all doshas.
We pretty much cook most dishes at the restaurant in a tridoshic way. Tridoshic meaning we balance all three doshas. We pretty much have to stick to that because we serve a big group of people. We serve people with all types of doshas, different types of background. We serve 3 meals a day. Today we serve 3 meals a day. When we started the restaurant 10 years ago, we served breakfast and lunch. So the community, the consumer, demanded a full-service restaurant over the last 10 years. So with serving meals 3 times a day, or all day, I should say, from 9 in the morning to 9 at night, we have to balance all three doshas.
So what introduced me to Ayurveda before you opened, and I was at your first place, which was on San Mateo, which doesn't exist anymore, within a week of your opening, and it was incredibly exciting to find not only a vegan restaurant, but one that was based on Ayurvedic principles. Well, the first dish was khichdi, and we're going to talk about khichdi today. I guess I didn't really know this, but looking online, I saw it referred to as the most neutral food.
That's correct.
You want to talk about what that means, neutral food, and let's talk about. I want you to explain what kitchery is. K-I-T. It's spelled different ways, but I think basically it's K-I-T-C-H-A-R-I.
That's correct.
Kitchery.
Yes. Kitchery is a combination of rice and beans and vegetables. I add the vegetables to incorporate all six tastes. The vegetables in the kitchery vary on a daily basis. Once again, based on the temperatures outside, based on working with bringing balance to all three doshas, based on the season, the planets. Every day we work with a different planet that brings different energies. So I actually use the different vegetables to bring a variety, which varies the vitamins, rare trace minerals, and proteins.
Now, talk about the way kitchery is cooked. I was actually introduced by someone who worked at the Ayurvedic Institute, which you did some essentially catering for.
We still cook the food for the Panchakarma department at the Ayurvedic Institute. It is now 12 years that I've been doing that. I started cooking for the Panchakarma department before I even opened the restaurant.
Let's talk about what Panchakarma is.
Panchakarma is the Ayurvedic detox program.
Yeah, and people come actually from all over for this. And basically, they're diet really changes during this period of time, and one of the foods that they are prescribed to eat is kitchery.
And that is why they are prescribed kitchery, is the neutral aspect that you were asking about. During the detox, you want very little aggravation to the body. So kitchery is typical of least aggravation or no aggravation in terms of the ingredients such as rice and the beans together form a complete protein. The types of vegetables that are used to combine with the rice and the beans are also less aggressive or no aggressive vegetables should be added to the kitchery, because you want digestion to be at its peak. You want soothing dietary experience during this time of Panchakarma.
Now, I remember when I was introduced to kitchery and was taught how to make it, that, and I want to confirm this with you and see if my memory is correct and if actually this is accurate, that what happens is the beans or legumes, like the dal, the yellow mung dal, for example, they're mixed in. I mean, they're cooked at the same time that the rice is cooked with the spices. Is that something that is important?
That is important, and that's not the way I make the kitchery, or that's not the way we make the kitchery, the rest of my chefs and the team at Annapurna. We make the kitchery in a different way. It's cooked in stages. We do start with the yellow split mung beans, or mung dal, that we call it. That is started in a pan with water. And we add the vegetables, and we add the rice, and the greens are the last of the ingredients that go in. And the spicing is done separately in a cast iron pan and then added to the kitchery. There are variations on the way kitchery is cooked or can be cooked. In India, there's a recipe in every home, northern India, southern India, all of India, different regions have different recipes. One village, 10 different homes, 10 different variations on the kitchery. What we do at Annapurna is very different from what I have seen being passed around in a few of the Ayurvedic cookbooks that we have. My recipe is different from the recipe that Dr. Vasant Ladd has in his cookbook. And I think what you might be referring to is the same method that they use in his cookbook, and we do it differently from there.
Yeah, that's true, because I have been making khichdi based on, he has a few of the recipes, right, and he talks about mixing the spices in a pan with ghee, which is clarified butter, and then mixing the dal and the rice together and putting in the water and cooking it, right. So what are some of those aggressive vegetables that you're talking about that aren't put into khichdi?
Onions, garlic, red chili, green chili, potatoes, eggplant, bell peppers. A lot of the vegetables that I would call nightshades, for example. Most of our khichdi recipes, we vary the recipe. Like I said, it's based on the seasons, on produce availability. Most times the khichdi has carrots, daikon, always has greens. And in the summertime, it's more the greens that are available, like the Swiss chard, for example. In the winter, a green like yu choy, or bok choy, or sometimes a curly kale. But if you're talking about aggressive vegetables, even potatoes, I would not put potatoes into khichdi.
So I read online somewhere, which surprised me, that there was some reference to khichdi as a soup. And I had never thought of khichdi as a soup. And as we were talking before we went on air, well, my prior guest, who I had recorded this week, was talking about Chico soup as their family's chicken soup. And I saw a reference to khichdi as well as a chicken soup kind of thing.
Yes,
no
Carol.
No chicken, of course.
Yes, Carol. It can be referred to as the chicken soup of India, because khichdi is very much a comfort food. Khichdi is eaten by adults, it's eaten by babies, it is eaten by children, it is eaten by old people, sick people. Everybody eats khichdi. Khichdi is one of those meals that can be had for breakfast as well as for lunch and dinner. So, yes, I guess I will allow you to call it a chicken soup.
Okay.
Of India, that is. Without the chicken, right?
Right, minus the chicken, of course. So some of the spicing, I'm sure that varies too, but it could be black mustard seeds.
It could be black mustard seeds. It could be cumin, coriander.
Do you use cardamom in your khichdi?
I would not use cardamom in khichdi. Cardamom is a stimulant, pretty strong. However, cardamom is excellent to reduce kapha. Depending on the on one's constitution, and if you were making the khichdi for yourself, and if you wanted to reduce kapha, then maybe you could add that. And once again, like I said, at the restaurant, we have to make the khichdi as neutral as possible because we're serving a very big audience here. When you talk of khichdi as a soup, yes, I would call it a soup in the summer because, once again, we make the food according to the season. So in the summer, we're going to add a lot of liquid into the khichdi. The khichdi is certainly a whole lot more soupier in the summer than it is in the winter. Reason being, in the summer, you want the body to cool down. You want the blood to be thinned out, so you're going to add more liquid. It's going to have your basic ingredients like the rice, the yellow split mung beans, and your vegetables, but it's all going to be geared towards cooling the body down. So lots of water, let's thin the blood out. Whereas in the winter, you want that warmth. You want that sustenance. You want the blood to be thickened. So you want to add foods that are thicker in consistency, foods that are a little bit more warming than you wanted in the summertime. So yes, you're going to have less liquid in the winter. So that is how the khichdi recipe is varied at the restaurant, or that's the way I would vary the khichdi recipe.
So when you were a child and eating this food, which was part of your daily life, who actually made the food?
My parents, my family, extended family, grandmother, mothers, aunts, cousins. Also, we did have maids and cooks, and the maids and cooks were taught how to make the khichdi. And actually, my memory of some of the khichdi that I had in my home is was actually a whole lot more tastier when made by the cooks and the maids than they were made by some of my family members. Well, you know, food has an energy, and that energy is actually transferred from the cook. So I would say there were some times when my family were not very enthusiastic about cooking the meal for the day, and that energy transferred into that khichdi. Whereas your cook that worked for you and got a salary or a wage from you was very enthusiastic about doing a job, and especially when they were helping raise the children in the family that they worked for. So we developed that kind of relationship with our cooks too. And my memories are actually some very tasty khichdi from some of our cooks.
So would you say that you had khichdi almost every day?
Absolutely.
And what about on special occasions or holidays, celebrations or whatever?
The khichdi was still there in addition to the special dishes that were brought out on festive occasions, like Diwali, which is the festival of lights. Lots of sweets on those days, but the khichdi was still there. If you weren't eating khichdi in the form that it is normally cooked, which is a one-pot meal, you're eating those ingredients in dishes like dal or rice separately. You always ate dal and rice, so it's still a form of khichdi, another version.
Well, at the very beginning, you referred to rice and beans, but it's, and we're not talking about any beans. We're not talking about using black beans or we're talking about yellow mung dal, which are the little yellow
split, like they look like split peas.
Right, they look like split peas, or
they're much smaller than yellow split peas.
And you can also use like green mung dal.
You could use green mung dal. I would use it in the winter because it's heavier. Where like we talked earlier about needing, you know, that sustenance and that warmth. Yellow split mung beans are actually the whole green mung bean, and they're split and what we call washed, so the skins are removed, the outer green skins are removed, so you see the yellow. But essentially, it's the same bean.
I'm going to ask you something that may not be of interest to a lot of the listeners, but I'm going to bring this up. I love yellow mung dal, and when I first started using it, the yellow mung dal was really, really tiny, and it cooked up very quickly. And then something happened. I don't know if it's a year ago or close to a year ago. There's not many places. I'm sure in the Indian groceries that you can buy it, but I've gone to a couple of other places, including the Ayurvedic Institute. Suddenly, they were looking larger, and I remember talking, even at the co-op here in town where you can buy organic, why does it look different? And nobody had an explanation. But to this day, I made some the other day, soaked it 24 hours, and it still took forever for it to cook. I think it's coming from China, and I don't know if do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, Carol, I do know what you're talking about. I believe it is coming from Thailand. There is a difference between the yellow split mung beans or mung beans that come from Thailand and the one that comes from India. What I use or have always used is the yellow split mung beans that come from India. Definitely a difference in the variety. The one that comes from India is smaller, cooks quicker, whereas the one from Thailand, the beans are a little bigger, take a longer time to cook, so you do need to soak it, for example. The yellow split mung beans that comes from India, I do not soak them.
It's funny.
I don't need to soak them.
I think there's a couple of folks in one particular food store that thought I was obsessive, because I actually saved some of the smaller ones, the original ones that I had used for years, just so they could see what I'm talking about next to the product they sell. And there's a huge, huge difference.
Well, you're not obsessed. I think you're absolutely right in asking, because you obviously observed that there is a difference.
Yeah,
I
wasn't believing that it was actually yellow mung dal, because all I knew were the smaller ones that cook really quickly.
The product from Thailand can be used. However, it does have a different nature to it. It does take longer to cook, a little bit more tougher, a bit more difficult to digest.
Right.
And I'm all about the colon, and I'm all about no colon left behind. So I'm going to use a product that's going to be easy to digest. And that is the type that comes from India.
This is Women's Focus that you're in tune to. My name is Carol Boss, and I'm talking to Yashoda Naidu, who is the founder, the owner, the operator. I don't know. What else do you call yourself? President of Annapurna's World Vegetarian Cafe, with 3 restaurants in Albuquerque. And I know, which I find very exciting, because I've had on the show Shira Greenberg,
yes,
who is with Cachette Dance Company, a marvelous organization that we have in our community, and they're getting their own building, and there's going to be a complex, and I heard that you're opening up a space in there.
That's correct. The Cachette Performing Arts Center is going into the Sawmill Village, and Annapurna's will have a restaurant in there, and it's not going to be called Annapurna's World Vegetarian Cafe. It's a different concept that I would like to present in partnership with the Cachette Performing Arts Center. So I'm going to change the concept a little bit to incorporate working with the dancers.
Can you tell us what that concept is?
I'd like to...
Here's a surprise.
Leave that as a surprise to the community. But I'm very excited. I am right in the middle of planning and logos and menus. And so it's a very exciting time.
And when is that going to be?
Whenever the Cachette Performing Arts Center breaks ground in the Sawmill Village, when the building is ready and Shira Greenberg is ready to have a restaurant in there, we will... I have a restaurant in there.
So it's a little bit of an unknown factor when that's all going to happen.
Yes, I am looking forward to that partnership and bringing that together with the arts community. Food and the arts community, I believe, go together.
All right, excellent. Thank you very, very much for being here, Yashoda Naidu. If people want to find out more about Annapurna, you have a website.
Yes, worldvegetariancafe.com or chaishop.com, chaishoppe.com.
Okay, thank you very, very, very much. And I know beet soup is the soup of the day today.
Yes, Carol.
It is incredibly, it's the best, I have to say, it's the best beet soup I've ever had.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much.